Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Hello, humans. Welcome to 2018. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Yay!
How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, I've been saying to people for the last few days, like, yeah, my Christmas was lovely, and yeah, New Year, yeah, all lies. I think back to any individual minutes, it was like, God, it was hell. But I have three toddlers, so of course it was. How was yours?
Well, you know, filled with marginally less woe and the general existential angst, and yes, the feeling that at some point, at any point in the future, everything could be on fire. But other than that, actually really, really good. It was a quiet relief. I was pleased that so many news programs were just reporting silly nonsense rather than what's happening across the pond at the minute.
That kind of thing. That was good, wasn't it? They do a good effort of pretending everything's fine for Christmas,
and
which is nice.
I got the best Christmas present in the entire world.
Oh, what did you get?
Entirely inspired by the fact you already have one. I got a see-through toaster.
What? And have you been...
I've toasted. I've christened it.
Carefully watching the toast browning through the glass. I invented this when I was 12. I say invented. I said all toasters should be see-through. And then I found one in real life.
Well, you convinced me. I remember the first time I saw yours and said, that's the most amazing thing ever. And bearing in mind, we've got a podcast about technology and advancing humans. I'm still to see anything in all of our podcasts that tops a see-through toaster. So now I have one.
This is me crossing out the agenda. Let's talk about toast. What's your favourite thing to toast in the see-through toaster so far?
Oh, so far, it's actually probably just standard bread and seeing the less smooth brownness spread across it. It's also got, I think, a thing which is really also incredible. Mine's, it's reasonably fancy for a start. You press a button and it lowers itself. And it's got a...
What?
Mine
doesn't do that.
It's got two alarms. So rather than the one that says your toast is ready, it's got a pre-alarm so you can check that your toast isn't burnt.
This is insane.
I'm slightly in love with this invention. It's perfect.
I got a robot Hoover.
You got a... What? An actual... Where is it? Can we have it as a third guest?
I'll put it to clean the room while we're doing the podcast and it will just whir away quietly in the back. No.
Does it work?
Yeah. No, it's great. Actually, I will get it and I will put it on just for a minute and then we'll turn it off because it'll be too noisy.
You've got to be kidding me.
Now, look, first of all, observe that there is stuff on the floor, right? Obviously, because it's my house, so it's like crumbs everywhere. Then we're going to set the robot Hoover.
Using your phone?
Using an app, obvs. Right, okay.
Where's the bag? It's tight. What the...
This is brilliant. Maybe this podcast should just be me getting hold of robots and then starting them going in the presence of Simon Watt.
Okay, well, I've got a couple of questions here. I mean, first of all, how good is your life that this was the next step?
I know.
And secondly...
Isn't it great? To be fair, however good my life was, or however bad my life was, the next step would be... It's just bumped into the microphone stand. The next step would be always getting a robot Hoover.
For the listeners at home, if you've seen the Terminator movies and you're aware of the T-1000 and the T-101, what I'm basically looking at is the T-1. It is a tiny disc...
It's not
it's
that
a little
tiny.
Bit intimidating, actually.
Well, my daughter is terrified of it.
It's also remarkably silent and also too small. Like, where does the dirt go?
It goes in its bum.
Well, yeah, but like, how does it fit? Is it does like deposit little pellets like a wombat as it goes?
No, it doesn't have cubic feces like a wombat does, which could be the second fact I've ever dropped on this podcast. If I pause it, I will show you. Right. Okay. Also, you can do this. No, you can't. Oh, damn it. Okay, hang on.
If you're setting it to do donuts, that's the next step. And that's too small.
Right. This is the rubbish compartment. There we are. Look.
Yeah, but that's minuscule.
Like, no, but it works, though.
You can collect one OxoCube worth of dirt at a time.
No, it's great, honestly.
So the time that you spend, the time that you save pushing around the Hoover is the time you spend emptying it 17 squillion times in your house.
No, because let me tell you how often I pushed around a Hoover previously. I mean, come on. The times I push around a Hoover is when somebody is imminently going to ring the doorbell, and that is it, right? So essentially, I don't spend any time hoovering normally. Now I just spend more time emptying the Hoover and talking to him, and because I'm at home on my own all day.
It's a male Hoover. You've gendered your Hoover.
The kids have called it... No, I haven't gendered the Hoover. I wouldn't do that. The kids have called it R2O.
Okay, as an R2-D2, but a prototype.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They haven't given it that much thought, but they've just seen the Star Wars movie, and so they've called it R2O.
Okay.
So that's what it's called. And I think it's male. Okay, I'll be honest. I have gendered the Hoover.
I think the next step is actually you have to get your Hoover some kind of litter tray or something that it can deposit itself. Like, if you're going to have to empty this, then it's kind of hopeless.
No, it isn't, though, because it... I mean, this is getting tedious
this
now,
is getting
isn't it?
This is personal as well. You're getting... Like, you're taking
this is several minutes beyond the point at which this stopped being interesting. But that's never stopped us before.
How's this changed your life, Rachel?
Yes. Let's, for Christ's sake, move on.
Yeah, should we get to actual news and actual progress? You've suggested a way that we formatted this episode, Rachel. Tell us more.
Well, I saw this article, which was Gizmodo magazine, which is like an online magazine, the most futuristic predictions that came true in 2017.
It's a great mag. Check out The Pod Delusion by one of its writers, a guy who's tremendous, James O'Malley. Huh. He writes for them an awful lot.
Sounds like an excellent name for a podcast. So I just thought we could talk about the things in it because, not just because it's the most futuristic predictions that came true in 2017, but just that there are actually quite a lot of things in here that I didn't know about, we've never talked about, and so I think it's worth having a look at it. The first one being, well, actually, like a theme of the whole thing is what it calls AI's continuing its steady march towards singularity, as we're seeing...
If you're going to use your vacuum cleaner and call that a steady march, a slow meandering amble,
I mean,
is more
I think it's fair to say that Skynet are not taking over anytime soon, because this thing really isn't going to pose any threat to me or my family in the near future, hopefully. The interesting things in this article are things like the most advanced military robot can now do backflips.
Great military ninja. That's like a Marvel series movie waiting to happen, actually. You can do backflips. Is it just showing off now?
Well, it is showing off, but if it can do backflips, then that's quite scary in terms of its general ability, because I think I said on the last podcast, like, the last robot I saw doing anything impressive was like...
Well, your Hoover.
Basically not falling over. And doing a backflip is pretty impressive. So it's the Boston Dynamics Atlas, which is now a backflipping cyborg super soldier. There's an improvement to the company's robotic dog, which is now more terrifying looking.
Is this Big Dog? Because Big Dog is lovely. Like, Big Dog, you can't help but find a little bit of affection for. Everybody at home, go and YouTube Big Dog, and you'll see actually some things you find upsetting, because, of course, as these machines are supposed to be self-righting, you'll see somebody kicking Big Dog, and it hurts you in the heart. Like, you feel for this robot as you see it stumble around.
Well, this is Boston Dynamics' newest robo-dog.
Oh.
Pretty cute, right?
Yeah, I'd throw it a chip or something. You'd play fetch with that, wouldn't you?
It's an adorable sort of buttercup yellow color, and it kind of looks at you like a dog would.
The next step will surely be robot stupid dogs. Like, some of those things you notice if you live in London is that because nobody wants to have a dog that can go outside, they've got these tiny little handbag inbred monstrosities. So robotics going to pass that quite soon?
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? And then dogs could go back to being, I mean, they're not going to be released back into the wild if everyone gets robotic dogs, are they? But at least in the cities, you could have a robotic dog instead of one that's been genetically modified or at least selectively bred to be...
Genetically pounded, I think.
Genetically pounded into a cube shape to fit in your handbag next to your phone. So there's that, so there's robotic advances, and then the most exciting advance in AI last year is AlphaZero, or possibly...
Is it AlphaGo?
Well, so AlphaGo defeated a grandmaster at Go.
Yes.
A little while ago, and this was like a big advance, but the way it did it was that the people who programmed it showed it all the best moves, and it kind of did all the best moves on the grandmaster, and obviously could calculate a lot of things into the future, and so managed to beat it that way. However, the same company have now created a piece of software called AlphaGo Zero, which with no moves programmed into it whatsoever, and just a sort of explanation of what the rules of Go are, played itself millions and millions of times over the course of 3 days, and was then able to beat the original AlphaGo 100 games to zero.
So playing with yourself does count as practice.
I mean, we'll just stop the recording there. That's the end.
I do find this... Have you ever played Go?
No.
I do find it fascinating because it's definitely one of those really incredible strategy games, and the few times I've played it, I've lost, and I've never understood why. But it's much, much simpler than chess in many ways in terms of there's less rules. Like, my problem with chess is that it's rules until you're good at it. Like, it's just remembering which way the bishop moves and which way the... Because everything does something different. Whereas Go, you're just putting tiles down and you're trying to conquer territories. Mm-hmm. But strategically, it's incredible. But it's not just Go that it's beating. It's now moving on to poker. Now, that I find more amazing. A machine called Liberatus has defeated the world's best Texas Hold'em poker players. Because poker is not just a game of the rules and of chance and of strategy. It's also a game of knowing what your opponent's going to do. There's psychology in this that there might not be in some of these other games.
Well, and this is the thing about poker, is that it's the first example of an AI beating human players where it didn't have all the information. Because if you're playing chess, you can see everything that there is on the board.
Yes, and it's sequential.
You are limited only by how well you can analyze it.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas poker, you don't have all the information. The other people could be lying, etc. And yet AIs are starting to do that as well. Even the Pac-Man score, high score, has been beaten. Right.
Oh, dear.
Which I didn't know there was an actual top score you could get on Pac-Man, but you can't get more than 999,990. And that has now been reached by a Microsoft bot. And it's quite interesting. It used an approach called hybrid reward architecture, in which it had 150 different bits of this program, which would do different jobs. So one was finding pellets, one was avoiding ghosts, one was finding blue ghosts to eat, one was tracking the piece of fruit. And then there was like an overall master control bit of AI, which, I mean, you can tell I don't understand any of this jargon, but which would coordinate these 150 different agents to work out what to do and played a perfect game.
Well, do you know, there is strategy to Pac-Man, and it's partly because the ghosts that you're talking about have different personalities. This has been programmed in from the start.
Do they?
Yeah. So there's the red one. They're called Blinky, Pinky, Inky, and Clyde. That's the name of the different ghosts. And they all
this
have...
This is brilliant. I did not know this.
They have slightly different strategies. So I think if I get this right, Blinky tracks behind Pac-Man and tries to chase you from behind. Pinky is always aiming for a square which is in front of Pac-Man. Inky, I think, is in front of Pac-Man and up a bit. And Clyde just hasn't got a clue what he's doing and will actually actively run away from you. So if you know this, then you can try and... There is actual strategy, but you have to know what your opponents are doing, really.
I had no idea. I think I've played Pac-Man a total of 3 times ever, so...
Then you've not played real Pac-Man. It's addictive. That is a great game.
No, I haven't, I know. Fake news is the other thing. AIs are making it increasingly difficult to discern fact from fiction with all kinds of new programs which can do incredible things like mimic anybody's voice with just a tiny little bit of input data.
I'm terrified.
There's an AI startup called Liarbird, which have created a thing which basically can recreate any voice reading any text with a predefined emotion or intonation, apparently.
I think that was a major Freudian slip they did, because they're talking about the lyrebird, so-called, because it's got a tail feathers that look like a lyre, the instrument. And they're using it as a bird that tells lies, really, aren't they? Because they're faking things. I think they've done a Freudian slip on themselves there. Let's mimic human speech so we can hack everything and decay trust in anything.
But even more worryingly, the computer scientists at the University of Washington have developed a system which can recreate the facial movements of a person and make them look like they're speaking words. So if you combine these two things, we're going to get to the point where people are posting videos on Facebook of Barack Obama endorsing Donald Trump.
But this kind of already exists in some small way. Like, that's what Cassette Boy's career is based on. He does satire by remixing.
Well, things. And he could use that for evil.
Well, yeah, this is the kind of stuff that people have been trying to do in certain parts of the world for a long time. Like, the doctoring of images goes way, way back. It's just now it's got to a point where machines will be able to do it live, I suppose. That'll be the next step. Just editing out the truth as it goes.
Yep. And there's another piece of AI which can adapt your favourite pornography to have the faces of your favourite film stars. Isn't that lovely?
Well, do you know, yes and no, actually.
I wasn't really...
Well, because one of the things that I suppose you could actually argue is there has been a movement towards what we'll call ethical porn, which is basically trying to create porn without people in it. So you get rid of all the difficulties of what is a very difficult industry, you know, mm-hmm. and replacing them with computers and machines.
Computer-generated people.
Yeah. Now, the other argument, of course, is I think there's been enough porn made that we could stop now. You know, there's more than anybody could ever see in their entire lifetime.
You could say that about opinion.
But, like, yes, I suppose.
We've had all the opinions on the internet. All we need to do is just pull them into any given news story.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I suppose it's an interesting outlook. Like, in the same way, one of the arguments for the legalization of drugs is that people are always, they've got some kind of innate drive looking for drugs, looking for highs and things. And in the same way, we'll find that people have an innate sex drive. So therefore, if demand for these things is always going to be there, trying to make these demands to be satisfied more ethically is a good argument.
Mm. Well, we know that the demand has always been there and will always be there.
Yeah.
Because if it isn't, something's gone horribly wrong and we're going to die out.
Yes, very, very true. But you're talking about, I think the thing which really, really matters here is this potential of doing this stuff live. So let's imagine in the far future.
Doing what stuff live?
Editing.
Oh,
so like, what if we have got, no. I mean, let's imagine you've got in some super duper contact lenses, which mean that you're no longer seeing a world that you don't want to see.
So if you're walking along a street, there's a homeless guy there. Your contact lens will just delete that.
Yeah, you won't see
it. So you
don't
even see it. And it deletes the graffiti, and it deletes the cars,
yeah.
and it replaces the pavement with grass, and it puts trees and.
And the other question, of course, is if this technology existed and the AI was advanced enough to make these things happen, how would we know that we don't have it already?
Ooh. Well, I mean, we've already considered the possibility that we're all in a simulation, and
we're probably not.
Well, we are. We aren't. In a way, that doesn't really matter, does it? How are we going to
If you were in a perfect simulation, why would you choose to listen to this dribble?
Nothing else to do, is there? I don't know. Tell us. Tweet us at LevelUpHuman. Why do you choose to listen to this dribble? I saw a really, really, really terrifying film this week, right? Which was BBC technology correspondent in a driverless car sat behind the wheel of the driverless car with a virtual reality headset on, which was using the speed that he was genuinely moving at to create a quite beautiful simulation of him flying through a landscape. Because your body is aware that it's moving along.
Yes.
But you're not driving the car and you've got 3 hours to get to Newport or wherever you're going. You might as well do something relaxing. And so you just fly through this. But it was completely terrifying. In the future, when everybody's in a driverless car all the time, they're going to look back at these videos of BBC technology correspondents pressing a button and tentatively taking their hands off the wheel. And they're going to have hysterics because it's so funny that we're so, so nervous about it. But it is, I mean, it's genuinely terrifying. But taking your hands off the wheel of the car that you're driving and then putting a virtual reality headset on, which is not conveying to you what's going on the road, is very, very scary indeed. There's also an AI which has taught itself to walk. So this is software, a virtual bipedal robot used reinforcement learning to figure out how to walk. And the results are hilarious, it's got to be said. If you've ever seen that episode of Friends where Phoebe goes running in the park, this robot looks a lot like that.
It's really punching the air.
It's
there.
Adorable. It's just like, yay, running along.
My toddler, well, not toddler, he's nearly two now, runs like that. You know, as in more up and down than forward. I do love the look on their face, actually. You might get the same in the robot where they go, look, look, Dad, I've invented running. Ah!
The other truly incredible thing in this futuristic predictions article is an external functional artificial womb, which has been created by the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which is basically a massive Ziploc bag full of amniotic fluid. And they put 6 fetal lamb embryos. Well, I say embryos. They were like the equivalent of 23 to 24 weeks.
Yeah, so pretty far along.
Pretty far along.
Actually, yeah.
Essentially, this is a way of bringing premature babies to term safely, because these lambs develop completely normally in this artificial womb and were then born out of it. And that's pretty mind-blowing, actually. The idea that you could have a premature baby in a real womb-like situation rather than an incubator.
Yeah, this has been an inevitability for a long time because there has been such good research into this. And this will save lives, this kind of stuff. Mm. More of this, please, again. The thing I find kind of most fascinating about it, though, is that we could get to a point where we choose to do this. You know, we could head back to our lizard ancestors.
I have no problem with this at all. If somebody said to me, do you want a baby? I'll grow it for you in this bag. I'd be like, yeah. Actually, well, no, I don't want any more. But if I, you know, if someone had said that to me several years ago before I had, you know, they were just like, do you want us just to deliver you the baby on this date and you don't have to walk around with it or stab yourself repeatedly on bits of furniture as you maneuver around the size of an enormous beach ball, I would have said, yeah, man, give me some of that.
I'm going to be unique here, like controversial. Like, if I had the choice to carry my baby, I would.
Well, if my husband had wanted to carry my babies, I would have taken him up on it as well. I don't mind. I don't mind if it's a bag on the floor or...
But you're gonna miss all the other things. Like, I suppose that's my main argument here. Because, okay, one of the things we have to bear in mind, half the point of our podcast is that we're always looking at trade-offs. You know, every time we get a new bit of technology, we also lose something else because we're moving away slightly from our nature. And let's say that giving birth is traumatic and as horrible as it is, and I can see how we need to intervene for medical sake, and I can see how we need to save the child and the mother whenever we can and do everything we can to make things as safe as we can. But it's a real experience. Like, I know my wife wouldn't trade it.
Well, there's also, isn't there something quite important about babies being delivered normally because of the fecal stuff?
The biome.
The biome has got to be transmitted to the baby by being delivered normally.
Yeah, but let's talk about this in the perfect world again. You're talking then about the prototype problem, that we haven't got the technology good enough. If you had the technology good enough that the most healthy baby, perhaps even actually, let's go for it, enhanced, because you can give them things in this artificial womb that you can't give them in a natural womb.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
So if you've got the ultimate baby and the ultimate womb, Would you still do it, or would you choose to go all organic? Would it become a fad?
I would do it even if it was in a Sainsbury's bag in my kitchen. I've already we've already gone over this. I'm a very lazy person. I'd just like. Also, I had all my kids by it. I had all my kids by section, right? So okay. I don't really feel like I went through the 100% kind of. I'm not fit for purpose. I should be dead. That's what I'm saying. And so I don't feel like I had the full experience anyway. So why not just outsource the whole thing?
Well, fundamentally, one of the reasons why this stuff exists is there'll be hormone things.
Like, hormone things.
Like for the getting to know your child, there mustn't be
you
no
can get to know
way.
It if it's in your kitchen and you can see it.
It's if we have it like the see-through toaster, where you can just peek
well,
in.
There we
on
are.
Your little...
Don't tell me about your see-through toaster and then say that I should have my baby inside me or I can't
I'm
see
not
it. Two
my
scans.
Bread just it. That's not how it works with my toaster.
I only had two scans for all of these kits, right? Yeah. And it's a long time to go between seeing your baby, weeks and weeks and weeks. If it was sitting in my kitchen, just like it would be like a fish tank. It'd be great. People would come round for dinner. You'd be like, "Do you want to see the baby?"
The answer is no, actually, in most cases for those things.
It would be fascinating. No, but this picture of the lamb in the womb is actually really, really mind-blowing because you look at it and you think, wow, that's you can see that growing day by day. And I like the idea of having a tank in your house where you can show people your baby that's growing and you'd feed it, give it some fish food.
I suppose what this is what it comes down to is like I've... Well, one of the reasons, and here's a fascinating bit of evolutionary biology, if you think of it, is that I've always, like, I'd like to carry a child. And it's because fundamentally, you know what's yours. Like, there's many arguments to say that a lot of the evolutionary biology behind, I suppose, maleness is paternal certainty. Like, a woman always knows their kid is theirs, or a man never does. And you're lucky enough to get like a whole flood of hormones and everything, which allows bonding.
Well, there is.
I have this, by the way. I love my kids completely, and I did from the start. But I was terrified before he was born that I wouldn't like it. Like,
and you've had not so much connection to it on the basis that it's not with you all the time.
I know fundamentally I don't have as much as his mum, and even like I feel lucky I have as much as I had, but. And bonding isn't even guaranteed through actual birth. But if we remove these things, I suppose every time that we make our life more convenient, there's always going to be the costs to these things. In the same way that it's great that we don't have to go out and work hard in the fields for all our life and go hunting the mastodon, but instead we're dying of heart attacks because we've got fast food. You see, I mean, it's trade-offs
for
everything.
You said that so quickly that I didn't even follow what... Sorry, hunting the mastodon.
So I'm saying progress is fantastic. It is brilliant that we have liberty. It is brilliant that we have, that we don't have to go out and toil in fields.
That's
or we don't
great.
Have to go out and, I don't know, hunt down some kind of terrifying creature that could maul us to death for our food. But on the flip side, it also means then that that the convenience ends up killing us. You know, more people now die of eating than die of starvation.
Yes.
So what would be the equivalent of this? Like, bearing in mind that there's a certain strand of Britishness which is happy sending children off to boarding school and says, bring the child to me once a year so I can just check.
Ideal.
Yeah.
Bring
it back
joking.
And they can talk and play the piano.
Yeah.
And then we'll put it into the government. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is a thing.
Yep.
What's going to happen to this gestation thing?
I don't think gestating your baby outside the womb makes... Well, you see, I disagree with the principle that having a baby in a bag in your kitchen is less bonding than having it inside you. You can visit it every day. You can see how it's doing. You can look at it. You can pet it. You can read its stories. You can play it music. You'd be much closer to it than if it was inside your own body.
That's inherently untrue because
well,
there's
not
nothing
physically
more
closer, but like, you know, you could sit next to it and talk to it and see it. There is something genuinely weird about being pregnant, and you can't disagree with me on this for once, because
I agree. There's plenty.
You know, you have something which is yes inside you, and therefore closer than anything has ever been before.
Yeah,
but I don't feel. I mean, like, how well do you feel? You know your heart. Not that well. It's just there, isn't it, inside you, keeping you alive. I didn't feel that close to the baby until it was born.
Yeah.
And I'd taken it swimming, you know? It's like sometimes you have a connection with your baby and it kicks in at a certain point, and it's not necessarily when it's born or even when you're doing all the skin-to-skin stuff they tell you should do. you can not bond with the baby until a much later point.
I've got friends who've gone the entire spectrum that you're talking about in terms of everything from being terrified of it because it is a little parasite that's growing inside you and leeching off you.
Well, and you could have those negative feelings as well.
Yeah.
I didn't have the negative feelings, but I didn't feel a sort of overwhelming amount of bonding love to it. It was more like, here's a thing, it's happening. I mean, this is just my, this is just how I see the world anyway. Okay, but
maybe, I'm always wondering what the costs of some of these things are.
Yeah.
And one of the things, of course, is also that it means that we'll stop looking after mothers. You know, we'll stop having maternity leave. And we'll
stop you're never
going
to get a seat on the tube again, are you? Yeah. I'll be like, it's in your kitchen, mate. You can
carry
stand.
The bag with you.
Unless you carry it with you and just be like, I'm having a baby, look, it's here.
The next step will be, it'll be go back to being like the stork delivering and you'll have a little Amazon drone carrying your bag of baby to you.
Amazon stork.
Delivery date will become much more accurate. It'll Amazon. Your baby will arrive between 9 and 6 on this.
That's brilliant. I think that's enough for this New Year episode of Level Up Human Extra. That's basically all the futuristic predictions that came true in 2017. Simon, anything they left out?
A bit more GM stuff, genetically modified humans on the way. They do mention in this list biohackers, people trying to do it themselves. But the thing we can really say is fantastic is that bodies, even like the NHS, are looking into gene therapy more as treatments. So this is one of those things we've been expecting for a long time, and now it's finally coming true.
Fantastic. Any live dates you want to mention, Simon?
Yeah, a bit of comedy coming up. Actually, one of them I'm doing with you on the 11th of January. We are both going to the Freedom Fridge gig. What are you going to be talking about?
Yes.
Freedom Fridge in...
Where is it? Kentish Town.
And what's the name of the venue? It's the Rose and Crown, isn't that right?
That's right. Formerly Torriano's, Rose and Crown. I usually go there and talk about stuff which I've written down on my phone. I really use it for completely new thoughts. So it'll be a shambles. What are you talking about?
Entirely new material for me, but I know one of the things is going to be based on a statistic that I worked out ages back. When Elvis died in 1957, there were 170 Elvis impersonators. And then if you graph this, as people like me are very likely to do, in 2007, there were 85,000. So if you extrapolate that, that would mean that by 2019, one in three of us will be Elvis. So I'm going to be talking
That's
about
great.
That in a very strange and actually quite dark, dark manner.
Good. That sounds amazing. I'm doing proper actual stuff that is hopefully properly funny. On Saturday, I'm going to be at Folkestone Comedy Club. And on Monday, the 15th, I'm going to be at the Good Ship in the Colonel Fawcett in Camden.
Ah, the Good Ship has moved. That is a wonderful gig. I highly recommend.
Ben Vanderbeld is an absolute legend. I'm really looking forward to
being check
on.
Him out on our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was our comedian for Oxford. Actually, also, I'll be at the Angel on the 17th. I've been Simon Watt.
I've been Rachel Wheely. And do tweet us at Level Up Human if you have any stories you'd like us to cover.
And our Hoover has been R2O. Goodbye.
Bye.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Want to know which Winnie the Pooh character saved lives? What woman was an opera-singing nun who stole a prince's girlfriend? And which guru from Tibet was actually an unemployed trustmaker from Devon? Then listen to the Zedlist Deadlist podcast with me, Izzy Lawrence, where I ask a load of guests to tell me about their favourite obscure person from history. Guests include Dan Carlin, Helen Zaltzman, Simon Watt, Griffith Jones, Paul Sinha, Richard Herring, Zoe Lyons, John Ronson, and many, many more. Please visit zedlistdeadlist.com or Izzy, that is ISZI.com, for more details. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.